Spring break, where are we at? Good, indifferent, bad? Good, mostly. Okay, cool, awesome. Welcome back. I was down in Arizona, a development trip. We have some benefactors there, so most of the benefactors were Father Halloran's time. So Halloran Hall right over there, he was here. He was the priest for 19 years back in the 70s and 80s, and some of them winter down in Arizona. So we're going and sharing the mission of all that we do up here. He was the one that built the Newman Center when campus was down the hill at one point. It's now the brick building as you go down Warren, where the Blue Earth County Museum is. That's actually the old Newman Center. So there you go, little tidbit of history. Remember the Titans. Who here remember the Titans? Does everyone remember the Titans? You're supposed to. I mean, that's the whole movie premise. You got to remember the Titans. Remember the Titans. It's been one of my favorite phrases. I don't know why the Lord like speaks to me sometimes through movie and movie lines, but this one's been nagging at me for a while. And it's the scene, right? So it's blacks and whites getting together on the same football team in the South. So segregation is ending. And right before they go on the bus, the white big all-star comes up to Denzel Washington and says, we can use a little bit of your help on offense, but we're good to go on defense. And Denzel goes, is this your team? Or is this your daddy's team? And then he presses the point, if you want to play for me this year, you have to answer me. Is this your team or is this your daddy's team? And eventually is humbled enough to the point of like, I really want to play. So it's your team. It's your team. And as I've been praying with that phrase, the Lord just keeps telling me, is this your world or is this your daddy's world? Is this your space and time? Or is this your daddy's space and time? Do you get to decide what's right and wrong? Or does your daddy get to say what is right and wrong? Is this your kingdom? Or is this your daddy's? Our pride would really like to say, it's my kingdom, it's my world, and I can be stressed out and anxious and try to control everything because that just sounds like a lot of fun. When in actuality, humility is the way we're invited to live. It's my Father's world. He knows what's going on. He knows me better than I know myself. And if I live, I very much relate, right? The brokenness in me very much relates to what Jesus is talking about, keeping it in the dark. The light came into the world and people hated it. That's why we killed him. We'd rather not talk about that. We'd rather distract ourselves or get stressed out and anxious instead of going to where peace resides, which is in the light. And recognizing that the deadliest thing is not cancer or MS or Alzheimer's. The deadliest thing is sin. And you and I have no power over it. That's how St. Paul talks about sin. And Jesus makes this parallel with the serpent, Moses. And Moses is commanded by God, so there's these snakes running around the Israel's camp. And everyone who's getting bit is dying because of the poison of sin, poison of these snakes. Moses makes a bronze serpent, places it in the middle of the camp, and whoever looks on this serpent is healed and restored to health. He's making a direct correlation to himself hanging on the cross. As the Son of Man is lifted up and calls all nations to himself, Jesus is a divine being who has a human nature. He's both God and man. He looks like us. He talks like us. He sleeps. He eats. For 33 years, he does everything human. And yet he's God also. And this bronze serpent, though looks like a serpent, is not an actual serpent. And as we gaze upon the Lord on the cross, God so gave his only Son so that anyone who gazes upon him might not perish, but might have eternal life. He takes upon death. Upon himself, sin. And what does sin lead us to? Sin leads us more and more into death, more and more into darkness. Any trajectory, pick your sin. It gets more and more isolating, more and more lonely, more and more restless. Thanks be to God, the worst thing is not sin. The worst thing is unacknowledged sin. Because how the church fathers would talk about the cross would be that Jesus was going to war. Because a king has to battle. And he goes to war against the things that you and I cannot compete. Sin, death, Satan, and hell. And he gives eternal life to those in his kingdom. This casting into the light, this going to confession. The worst thing in the world is not sin. The worst thing in the world, as this would be Fulton Sheen that said this, would be unconfessed sin. God has taken care of sin. And Jesus challenges your and my heart and our life to live in the light. To live in the light. What is the light? It's knowing that you and I are beloved children of God. The peace that this is God's world, this is not my world. I don't have to control everything. Remember the Titans. Once when they have camaraderie with each other, victory is theirs. But in order to have that, you need to have a leader. You need to have a Lord. You need to have a king. And the humility is to say, Lord, if you want me on the field, great. If you want me on the bench, great. I will play as long or as short of a time as you need me to. Because it's not about me. It's about the team. It's about your kingdom. That you would have victory over everyone's heart so that all of humanity could be in the heavenly kingdom. So, is this your world? Or is this your daddy's world? Because once when it's your daddy's world, oh death, where is your sting? Nothing is impossible for God. We live in expectation of hope. The expectation of faith. the expectation of the internal divine love embracing all of us for humanity. During this Lenten season, let us continue to journey towards the Lord.